Good morning. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Another day that we have seen in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. Amen. Amen. Somebody happy about being alive. Hallelujah. I'm going to live as long as I'm supposed to live. And I'm going to do what God called me to do while I'm here. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, if you believe it, you can say it too. It's all right. It's all right. Don't be scared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning, and I'm just anticipating the word of God unfolding in our lives. I do appreciate our Facebook and social media platforms gathering with us on this morning. It's a privilege and an honor that you're taking the time to be with us. Believe the Lord has a word for us today. I felt as though he really impressed on my heart this word, so I'm going to try to share it with you to the best of my ability, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring it to the point where it's able to bear witness with your spirit. So no further ado, let's open in a word of God and a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you. It is always appropriate to give honor and thanks and glory to you because you and you alone are worthy to receive all honor and praise and glory. Father, even today as we come before your presence, I pray, Lord, for a manifestation of healing. God, healing in our emotions, healing in us, our bodies physically. God, healing that you know we have need of. God, heal us like only you can. Send your word and heal us all. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray not just for healing, Lord, but understanding that, Lord, you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think and or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. So, Lord, we pray for deliverance, Father. Deliver us from anything and anybody that would keep us from missing out on the best that you have for us, Lord. God, we don't always know the way that we should go, but, Lord, deliver us. Like only you can, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, finally, I pray, Lord, for the unconditional love of God. It's your love that has taught us that it covers a multitude of sins. The shortcomings that are in our lives, the times that we miss the mark. God, you've covered us with love. May the unconditional love of God be manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Again, great morning to you. Pray that all is well with you. If it is not, when we finish, it will be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because all you need is a word.
Amen.
All you need is a word. Hallelujah. Well, let's get started. I want to speak this morning from the standpoint, embracing the kingdom movement, don't stop doing what got you here. Don't stop doing what got you here. We live in a world that is corrupt, it is fallen, and it's coming to an end. Now, I want you to tune in to what I'm saying today, if you would just give me a few moments. Because I believe the Holy Spirit ministered this to me to share with you all and allowed me to see some things. And I'm going to be very transparent with you regarding them as well. I am finding out that there is no security in this world.
Amen.
Now that may be, you may go like, Pastor, you just getting that? Well, you know, it seems like as soon as you learn the rule, the game changes. I mean, I remember some of the things I learned growing up. Ways to be successful. For instance, we have been taught, and please don't shoot me down on this. We have been taught the importance of an education and, you know, the necessity of getting an education and those things. But they didn't tell us that they was going to be shooting in the same school you're supposed to get the education in. Soon as you learn the rules, the game changes. I mean, we didn't know that our babies would go to school and deal with some of the things that they're dealing with even after a pandemic. Amen. See, as soon as we learn the rules, the game changes. Yeah. There's no security anywhere except in Christ. Amen. So I'm looking at everything. Yes. We've been taught the importance of saving money, how we should save and make sure we put away for a rainy day. But then we look and see food prices that have gone up 20 to 30% seemingly overnight. We could look at an opportunity to, I mean, just things that just, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. Yes, the housing market is wide open. Oh, you could sell your home and seemingly get all of this money for it, but you can't buy another one without having to go up on what that one was costing. So soon as we learn the game, the rules change. We've been told don't buy a new car because after all, it loses 25 to 30% as soon as you drive it off the lot. But they didn't tell us that a used car now costs as much as a new one. Soon as we learn the game, the rules change. So I want to talk to us today, knowing that the game has changed. So don't stop doing what got you here. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and you know this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I feel impressed that the Holy Spirit has shared with me that a wave of discouragement has come across the land. This is a unique type of discouragement. Let me see if I can maybe describe it, and you don't have to say amen. You don't have to raise your hand. You could just sit there, and if it bears witness with you, then you know. It seems as though if somebody asks us to do one more thing, I said I don't have to have an amen. I don't have to hear. I'm just reading the I'm just reading the room. It is seeming that like Lord, it's like overnight there's been an additional burden added to us, and there's other things being required of us from every angle, and it's almost if somebody asked me one more thing. One more thing. And I understand the feeling. But it also has slipped over into the house of God. And let me show you what I mean. Because it has gotten to the point where spiritually, can I just leave me alone? This is it right here. I won't have to do nothing else. I want nothing else to be required of me. And it's Galatians 6 and 9 is a very interesting scripture. I don't know if you ever really slowed down and read it, because the writer of Paul is sharing with the Galatian church, don't be weary in well-doing. Why would anybody ever get tired of doing what's good? Amen. Why would you need to be exhorted about doing what's good? Amen. Maybe it's because periodically nobody stops by and say, Donald, you're doing a good job out in the parking lot. Want you to know we appreciate you. Maybe it's because, see, here's the reality of our world. We often don't get recognition unless we do something wrong. Amen. Oh, what? Let me see if I could bring it home a little bit. On our jobs, if you do what's expected, it's only average. You You got to go above and beyond. You got to break out. You got to be outstanding to be recognized. But if you do what's expected of you every day, watch this. If you be faithful, it's not even recognized. You just an employee. You don't get the employee of the month for doing that. No. You just coming to work like you're supposed to. So the writer had to tell them, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up when you're just doing the right thing. Don't give up when you hanging in there and you keep doing what you're supposed to do. And ain't nobody, Minister Plummer, they ain't saying, well, he there all the time. We could always count on, they ain't even saying that. They just count on you. they don't care. Yeah, he gonna be here. Always. But it's not that they recognize it in the sense of valuing it. They recognize it in the sense that we can count on it. Don't be weary in well doing. Folk doing the right thing time and time again. And the reality is, God, do you see? See, I don't nobody else see it, God, but do you see? Or, you know, I'm just saying what you're thinking, that's all. I'm just saying what you're thinking. When Alice, when you come in the classroom, do the parents really see what they're causing you to have to deal with? Well, you're supposed to teach. You're supposed to teach. Why don't you do something with them? Last time I looked, I didn't birth them. Oh, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just, you know. So we get the well-doing and have to be encouraged to not stop doing the well-doing because other folk ain't recognizing it. Y'all with me now? Are we finding you? Because we ain't going to stop doing what got us here, right? Okay, well, I'm just seeing if we can find everybody here. You know, because sometimes we do that right thing and, you know, you keep doing the right thing and keep doing the right thing. And somebody got to, does anybody see me doing the right thing? Because, I mean, after all, you know, if we get out here and do the wrong thing, oh, yeah, we're going to make the paper. We're going to make the news. And then you're going to want to stick a microphone in front of somebody to talk about it. What about when we're doing the right thing, though? So we live in a corrupt and fallen world that's coming to an end. So don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season. So there's a season that's due, that's coming. There is a due season. There's a reckoning. There's a reckoning coming. But we can't faint before we get there. Because see, the discouragement, that wave of discouragement, it's designed to cause you to faint. Amen. It's designed to cause you to quit doing the well-doing. Amen. That's the whole purpose. Faint. I couldn't stop you from doing the well-doing, so I want to weigh you out now. I just want to weigh you down. I want to grind you down to nothing. Since I couldn't stop you. You ever feel like, man, you know, it seems like we're so busy, but we ain't doing nothing. I mean, there's a level of fatigue that's mental now. When you say, I'm tired in my mind. Oh, come on now. It ain't physical. I go out here, what kid? I go out here and run 5 miles, but I'm tired in my mind. It ain't physical no more. This is different. There's something else going on. It's a whole different world. Well, I think I might have found most of y'all. I'll find the rest of y'all as we go. Number one, a bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior. A bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior. Pastor, you don't know the environment I'm in. These folk up in here are crazy. I'm dealing with this foolishness every day, day in and day out. I'm tired of this mess. But a bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior. Oh, yeah, I want to make sure we understand, because some of us are in bad environments. Yeah, because ain't nobody saying, oh, baby, I'm sorry you in that environment. See, we think, you know, number one, can I just be honest with you? I'm going to get to the notes in a minute. You in the bad environment because you can handle it. Let me remind you of something. Let me remind you of what folk not telling you. The reason you are in the bad environment is because you can handle it. See, God really doesn't put more on you than you can bear. Even you may not believe you can bear it, but the reason you're there is because you can handle it. Let's talk a little bit here. Maybe I can find a little scripture to support what I'm saying. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the greater one lives inside of you. Every day you don't know what to do, God already knows what's going to happen. Every day. See, sometimes I believe the prayer that we should pray is, Lord, help me. I'm starting to see that more and more. I don't need to know what to do. See, I'm tired of trying to physically and mentally process stuff. I'm becoming weary in that. I'm learning now as I'm getting older that ain't the process I need. I just need help. God, you gonna see, because I'm learning every time I learn the game, the rules change. It took me so long to learn the game. Then they changed the rules. So Lord, just help me. Just help me. I'm starting to see a pattern. As soon as I catch up with the game, they're going to change the rules. So Lord, just help me. See, because the greater one is on the inside. So greater is he that's within me than he that's within this world that keep changing over and over. So Lord, help me. Because I'm learning that a bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior. Because, you know, after a while, if can I be honest with you? After a while, you start learning that they change. And you say, well, you know what? I'm going to fix this next time. So I'm just trying to see if I can find anybody. After a while, you start learning. Yeah, okay, I see what y'all doing now. But see, that's why we need help. That's why we need help. That's why we need help. That ain't the way we're supposed to fight now. That's right. Bible says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. That ain't the way we're supposed to fight. The greater one lives on the inside of us. Lord, I need help. Romans 12 and 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, you're not a casualty, you're a conqueror. No, let's not get this twisted. Because in the midst of all of this weariness that is sweeping the land, people are starting to think that they're becoming a casualty. I am here to let you know you are not a cat. You are a conqueror. See, you got unseen resources. You have divine help. See, I'm not going to forsake the help that I have by stepping outside of who I am. In other words, I'm going to keep doing what got me here. I didn't get here because of my intellect. I didn't get here because of networking skills. I'm going to keep doing what got me here. See, I know this thing is wearying. I'm learning it's wearing folk down. It's like sandpaper on people. It's wearing them down. It's smoothing out all of the stuff that should. See, everything shouldn't be smooth in your life. The enemy shouldn't have access to everything because he don't want out a path into our lives. Oh, no. It shouldn't be that way. He should have some obstacles. It should be some forbidden territory. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13 of the New Living Translation. I'm just talking about the bad environment, making sure you are aware that God knows where we live at. So I think sometimes, you know, we could almost be like schizophrenic. You know, we could come to church, we could jump, we could shout, we could run, we could do all of that. Then we go back into a crazy world. And we wonder, Lord, why is it like this over here, but it's like this when we get back to this? The Bible says, this is Jesus talking about the last days. See, what I'm trying to do is, all right, if I know, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12 and 32 that they understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. I think we need to understand the time and it'll help us to know what to do. Amen. See, there's, you know, I was watching the Olympics and I was watching them run, you know, you can't always get in the starting block. The starting block is for the time when you start. Can you imagine somebody at the finish line? Oh, where my starting block's at? See, there's a time, and if we understand the time, then we can properly align ourselves. Jesus said this, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. He's talking about in the last days. So if we're seeing that, it's an indication of the time. And if we know what time it is, we can align ourselves accordingly. So let's look. Is sin rampant everywhere? So what else is going to happen? The love of many will grow cold. So folks will get out in their car and drive by and shoot other folk because their love has grown cold. Young kids will ride by and shoot in people's houses. Why? Because the love of many has waxed cold. So now wait, I'm saying us as believers, are we discerning the time? Because just because it's a bad environment doesn't have to change our good behavior. Because they're reporting all of this on the news. Watch this. Give me verse 13, please. Next verse. People are like, well, you know, I might as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be honest with you. Folk giving up. Yeah, I remember the scene in one of them scenes in Rocky when he was holding the white towel. He's about to throw it in the ring. Folk throwing it in. That's it. They're throwing it in. But the scripture says, Jesus was saying, listen, even when you see sin running rampant like that, even when you see people's heart growing cold like that, he says this to us, you can endure it. You can make it even in the midst of that. Because a bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior. See, we've been told, we watching folk fall like dominoes. I heard somebody say one time, you know, scripture says, the poor you have with you always. I said the best way to help them is not be one of them. Amen. You know what? Folks are falling left and right. You don't have to be one of them. You don't. Or you could go with the, like everybody else. But you know what? This is for keeps, y'all. Don't forget that. This is for keeps. This ain't a video game where it's game over and you just, you know, we could, you know, restart the game. Don't work that way. This is for real. This is heaven and hell. This is all eternity. And he said, you can endure this. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. That means people can endure it. People can make it in a bad environment. I'm just saying. I'm trying to set my stage. I'm still on my first point. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. New Living Translation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He says, but you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. First thing he says, stay faithful. Do you realize that they're writing these things to people in bad environments? They're writing it to them in tough times. It's amazing. Let me show you what I'm saying. It's amazing that right now something can come up, something so small, so insignificant, and it's become so important in somebody's life that they walk away from what God is saying to do. Don't take much. Well, such and such came up and I needed to go. Well, I had to go over here. And well, how is it? Notice this. The threat is always towards the things of God. Okay. You think I'm saying something deep. You get up in the morning. Let me do your Saturday morning for you. You get up in the morning and you say, well, you know what? I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. I got some time today. I ain't got to go to work. I'm fairly rested. I feel all right. But that's right. I need to put that load of clothes on. I need to wash the clothes. I got to go down and clean up the kitchen. Wait a minute. Before you know it, it's 12 noon. Lord, who? I just thought I would find you for a minute because, for a minute I seen you drifting to all of them other people that you had in mind. So I just said, bring them back home here a little bit. All them other folk you were looking at. My car ain't washed, man. All of those things. And that's right. I did want to spend some time with the Lord. I did. See, this is the weariness that's happening. And then, now, can we take it a step further? So now here comes condemnation. Because, you ain't, look at you, wanting to spend some time. You ain't really want to spend no time with him. So now you're walking around. First off, you didn't spend the time. Now you're condemned for not spending the time. Now, I know that there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, but I'm just telling you what we deal with, because we were not designed to deal with guilt. See, there's a weariness across the land. It's a weariness that if we're not careful, it is taking hold of people's lives. And after it's all said and done, we get to the point where we just say, you know what, just forget it. But see, what it was, you got weary mentally. I didn't got time to go there, but the Bible says, lest you faint in your mind. People are fainting mentally, you all. This is, and once you do that, see, your mental faculties are going to control what you say and do. So if the enemy could get you to faint in your mind, after you faint in your mind, you're going to start seeing the rest of your body and your actions line up with the fact of a fainted person. People that faint don't move. You'll catch that one later. So 2 Timothy 3 and 14 says, but you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. So the first thing he says is, stay faithful. Listen, if we're going to, just because we're in a bad environment, it shouldn't change our good behavior. The first thing we're going to do is stay faithful. And then he says, hold on to the truth that you were taught. This is a day and time you got to hold on to what you got. What were you taught? I mean really taught. See, some lessons we heard. Some we were taught. What were you taught?
Amen.
See, if the scriptures tell us to do something, that means we can do it. He says, for you know you can trust those who taught you.
Yes.
He says, remain faithful. If the scripture tells you to remain faithful, that means you can remain faithful.
Amen.
Y'all, I'm telling you, I'm not playing with this thing. Let me move on. Number two. So what we're talking about again, let me rehearse before we go on. We're talking about embracing the kingdom movement. Don't stop doing what got us here, right?
Amen.
We said a bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior, right? Number two, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Our hope must be fixed on God.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you how not to let the game change and the rules change and all of this affect you. Our hope must be fixed on God.
Yes.
Now I'm going to share something with you under this second point here that was revolutionized my life the other day when the Holy Spirit shared this with me. Because I found something in me that I didn't even know was there. And I'm learning to process it. In Isaiah 26:3, New Living Translation, you know the text in King James, but I wanted to sum it up in this. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Listen to this. Be careful what you are mindful of.
What's good?
The word mindful means your mind is full of. Be careful what your mind is full of.
Oh my goodness.
That was good.
See, we are in a place in a time where we're being bombarded with a bunch of negative stuff. Be careful what our minds are full of. Because if we're trusted in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. Listen, I want my thoughts to be fixed on him. Okay, Holy Spirit, let's go. Psalm 71:5. Psalm 71:5, King James. Now this helped me. This helped me, so I'm going to share it with you. Psalm 71:5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. The psalmist says, you're my hope. I have a question for you. What's your hope? Listen to this. Please listen for a moment. Don't even write this down. Don't write this down. I want you to listen first. Because if you listen and you really hear this, this is going to be with you. And this, the Lord shared this with me. So the scripture says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Listen to this. We could end up putting our hope in what we want God to do and not in God. Then if he doesn't do what we want it to do, we tend to become discouraged. Proverbs 19:3, New Living Translation. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. Let me recap that again. We put our hope in what we want God to do for us and not in God himself. See, if I'm hoping for what God will do for me and it doesn't happen, notice the place that we become angry with is God. But the reality was our hope was misplaced. The psalmist says my hope is in God. Let me do it like this. If God doesn't do anything else for you ever, hasn't he done enough for us to put our hope in him? And can we be honest? The majority of the things that God has done for us has not been because we requested them. What am I saying? It's not because our prayer life was always saying, God, I want this, God, do this, God. It was God positioning, doing in accordance to his will and purpose for our lives. So why can't we just put our hope in God? Not in what God can do for us. Because when we start hoping in what God can do for us, that means we have to think about what we know. And God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think of. In other words, it's beyond what we even know that God can do, but we're limiting God in the sense that we're saying we only are hoping in what we know you can do. Am I making any sense here today? It's working. It's work for me because I said, I had to sit and I repent. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I am absolutely wrong because I was hoping in what you could do for me. And then I was getting frustrated because it wasn't turning out the way I wanted it. But God was saying, you're supposed to hope in me and not in the way that's happening anyway. Because as I look at my life, as I step back and look at my life, it ain't because of me writing out a script saying I want it to happen this way. I want that to go down that way. I want this over here. It wasn't because of that. It's in accordance to God's will and purpose for my life. And you know what? It turned out pretty good without me being involved. Now, it takes a lot of courage to say that. Because people like to, you know, make you think that they done this and they done that and they pull their bootstrap, all of that other nonsense. But the reality is, it was God. And living in a world where the rules keep changing, you need to know where your hope is at. Where is your real hope? How much disappointment can be alleviated from our lives if we just realign our hope. Amen. I ain't saying don't expect anything. I'm just saying realign your hope. Yeah. See, you know as well as I do, you go like, yeah, okay, God gonna do this. And then you work out the way he gonna do it. And then it don't happen like that. And now you mad. I mean, no, you do the religious mad. Praise God. You know, that's a religious man. Yeah, you're not going to really, you're not going to really voice it out loud. I'm mad at God. You know, it's the religious man. Hallelujah. You know, it's the little attitude that's behind it. But I say, no. As I'm looking at my life, no, wait, let's step back for a minute. God, you've been good. And it wasn't because I planned it so well. I got some things that I have in store now that I was working on. Yes. And they ain't going like I wanted it to go. Same. Oh, can I tell you I am upset? Yes. No. Amen. All right, y'all sit there and look like that. I'm telling you, upset. Yes. I'm like, oh. But I said, God, you know I wanted this for that. And I was going to. Yes. It's like he going like. And I love the way the Father is. I do. I love it. He's just like, are you finished? Oh, yeah. Are you finished now? Because what he's saying is like, wait. He says, Daryl, look. Take your time and look at this. You're planning for something that's always changing. I'm the Lord God that changeth not. Oh, come on. I don't change. Let me handle this. I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen. What he said, do you trust me with what you don't know? You know what? Let me share with this with all of y'all. Every one of y'all lived somewhere that was once woods. It was never woods. At one point in time, where your nice, beautiful residence is at, was woods. So if God would have took us over there, showed it to us and said, welcome to your new home. What? See? Because we didn't know how it was going to happen. We didn't know how it was going to unfold. See? So really so much is dependent on what we know. We're depending on what we know. Our hope is in our own knowledge. It's not in God. And the frustration happens because now what I hoped for didn't happen. I'm mad at God and everybody else. Because what we're really saying, I ain't getting my way. Not his way, my way. Oh, yeah, we would have said, the Lord is good. Yeah, uh-huh, you just, what you really, I got what I wanted. I said it revolutionized my life. And I'm just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm stepping away from it. God, you got this. You got this. Because I can't handle it. Things changing too much. Folk looking at you one way, making it, they well, I'm with you. God said, you just don't know. They already gone. Now, I ain't just talking about church people. I'm talking about in your life. You thinking you leaning on, I got this deal coming. Yeah, they going. No, them folk ain't thinking about you. They already gone. But God says, you know what? I'm going to be right here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, when we go turn back and say, it's all God. It's all God. Folk walked out of our lives, you all. They walked. People that you thought were going to be there forever have walked out. But you know what God said? I'm right here. So why weren't we leaning on him always? Why did we allow a moment to not be leaning on him? Maybe it's because the infrastructure or the structure of this world looked appealing. I'm going to say something, and this may upset some people, and I hope you hear it in the heart that I'm saying it in. As I look at where we are now as a nation, what's going to happen? There's only one element of money in the United States that has not been touched. That element is retirement. Something's coming because there are trillions upon trillions of dollars in retirement. If you remember teachers, some of you all could probably remember this having heard this. The teachers' pensions and some things became affected because they would come to find out certain municipalities and stuff were spending the monies. Supposedly in a pension, you know, that was going to be there for the rest of your life. Something is coming, you all, because all of these trillions of dollars are on the side. They're outside of the normal flow of monies. So now that means the game is about to change. Yes. That means the rules we've been, okay, you know, we got to put away and put away and put. And I was thinking this morning, most of us in here, our grandparents, our great grandparents, where was their retirement fund? And they done fine. But they changed the game with us. And taught us to set aside all of these monies in, watch this, in an account that you can't get to until you retire. Now, did you see the rule there? Did you see that rule? I mean, I'm just saying. Can't touch it. Matter of fact, we're going to penalize you if you do. Now, if I'd have told you that, then listen, give me your money, let me hold on to it, And if you want it back, I'm going to charge you for getting it back. You say, you crazy, you lost your mind. But I just call it retirement. I'm just saying, y'all, and I know somebody, you know, probably looking at this and saying, look at that crazy preacher, he preaching against retirement. I'm not preaching against retirement. I'm just saying everything is changing. It's just changing, you all. Let me get back to my notes. I ain't dependent on nothing. I'm nothing but God. He is the only one that doesn't change. Everything else, I mean, it's just crazy. Okay. Psalms 43 and 5. I'll do this and I'll go on to my last one and we'll try to close out. Psalms 43 and 5 says, remember, we're talking about putting our hope in God. It's in God, not in what God can do for us, but it's in God. The psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Listen, notice the psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Your soul is the seat of your mind, your will, and your intellect. Why would our souls be cast down? Or why are we discouraged in our mind, in our will, in our intellect, unless we were hoping in something else? There's no reason for us to be disquieted or cast down in God. Amen. It's only if we were hoping in something else. Amen. I don't want to be like that. I don't have enough of that. I don't have enough of sitting at home or whatever, being discouraged, being mad, being frustrated because I wanted to work this way, ain't working. I'm done with that. I'm being honest. I'm done with that. Well, Pastor, are you saying you ain't going to never be upset no more? No, as long as I live in this world, I believe I'm going to have reasons to be upset. But I'm saying I don't want to continue putting my trust, putting my hope in something that is so fickle. It's so fickle. Somebody adopts a system, tells us it's wonderful and that we ought to be a part of it. And then, wow, let's go. Right now, I'm going to show you how things change. Right now in Australia, there's a bill on the table. The bill that's on the table is authorizing, for lack of a better way of putting this, their government to have access to all of your social media platforms. And in the social media platforms, they could go in and change anything you post to say what they wanted to say. And they're trying to legalize that. So now, I'm showing you how the game is changing. You could say one thing and they could change it to say something else on your platform. Wow. Well, you say, well, Pastor, so what's the big deal with that? So what if they label this one platform? They say, well, okay, over here, this is socialism. This is a terrorist activity. This is this. And then all of a sudden they say, well, you know what? You went there to this website, so we now consider you part of that. And you say, well, I didn't go there. Yes, you did. Because they went in there and changed your post. Y'all, I keep telling you Australia, because when you look at them, that's a democratic society. The game is changing. And what good is a great retirement then? My third and final point today. Your pursuit indicates your desire. Your pursuit indicates your desire. So I said, our hope should be in God. I said, a bad environment doesn't have to change good behavior. And finally, our pursuit indicates our desire. It's easy to say you want something. Show me you want it. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. In other words, we really go after what we really want. we really go after what we want. I mean, let me remind some of our married couples. You were single and pursued what you wanted. There were many other opportunities, but you pursued what you want. Now, you see, nobody got married by accident. Pursuit. You the one. Pursued you. Want you to know that. Will you? It was out of pursuit. Somebody made up their mind. Somebody accepted that there were some terms. There was a pursuit that took place. Because this is what I want. See, pursuit is an indication of desire. The Bible was saying, seek the Lord. What's your desire? It says, seek his face continually. What's your desire? See, it's one thing to say, oh, I want more of God. Are you seeking him? Go with me to Psalms 9 and 10. Psalms chapter 9, verse 10, King James. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God will not abandon those who pursue him. Let me say it again. God will not abandon those who pursue him. I don't care what bad condition we're dealing with out here. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how, well, you know, what you gonna do about this? All I know is God will not abandon those who pursue him. He's not abandoning. May not look like things going well right now, but I know this. God ain't gonna abandon me. Well, what you gonna do? I don't know what I'm gonna do, but God won't abandon me. I do know that. Isaiah 55 and 6. And I'm almost finished. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The window to seek God is open now. The scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That implies to me that the window is open now, but it won't always be. It won't always be open. See, pursuit is an indication of what we desire. And if we desire God, now is the time to seek him. What am I saying? Seeking him now before calamity breaks out. Seeking him now before the game really changes. See, it's been... we have seen things change where it was advantageous for certain people in certain times and so on and so forth. I'm talking about the ultimate game change, where this thing begins to wrap up. Where all of a sudden, people are going to recognize who's the King of Kings and who's the Lord of Lords. And I want to seek God while he may be found. Right now, before things change, right now, before I get to the point where people are scrambling, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there's a day and time coming where folk going to speak to the rocks and say, fall on us. See, the game going to really change. I don't want to be like that. I want to have put my hope in God. I want to have kept doing the right thing even in a bad environment. I want to have pursued him because it was an indication of what I really wanted. The Lord showed me this several years ago, I believe now, And I keep referring back to it. Listen to this. I want God, not just what God can do. See, so many people, okay, how would you feel if somebody wanted you only for what you could do for them? Let me share something with you right quick. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. I think that's right. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came under the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So this is the women who went to the grave. Verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Verse 3. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Listen. They wanted God. They wanted his body. What could his body do? See, some people, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus is dead now. He's in the tomb. But they are going to get his body. Notice everybody wasn't showing up there. Everybody, because listen, he can't do anything anymore.
Wow. Teach.
How many people want God, not what he can do, but they want him? They were going to the grave because they wanted him. I want his body. I just want to dress it. I just want to honor for what. See, it wasn't about what he could do then. They wanted him. How many people want God now? I'm not talking about him doing something. I'm not talking about him pouring his blessings up. That, see, God does that because he's God. See, you're not understanding what I'm saying. It's all of this. We can sit up in church. We can talk to people and tell them how saved we are and all that. But you know what? When the truth really comes out, God done so much for us because he was just good. It wasn't your prayer life was supreme. No, God was good. He was merciful. I just want him. Because if I got him, it's going to be all right. Because God know how to take care of his family. I just want him. I just want him. Okay. And I'll finish with this. 2 Chronicles 26 and 5, and we'll close. 2 Chronicles 26 and 5. The Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. True success comes from seeking God. No. I want you to hear me. We live in a life and everybody's got these revelations of success and, you know, folks are on the speaking circuit because, you know, they're life coaches. And I'm not knocking all of this. That's fine. If somebody need a life coach, go for it. If you want to be a life coach, go for it. You know, but I'm saying, if you're going to coach people about life, tell them what real success is. Because if not, you're just telling them about a game that the rules are changing on. You're setting them up for frustration. But see, as long, this is the king Uzziah. And what he was saying, it sought God in the days of Zechariah. In other words, this is when Zechariah was around and Zechariah was teaching him the things of God. And as long as Uzziah was following along with what he was being taught in seeking God, God made him to prosper. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you could, I want you to hear me, just hear me now, that what you do is wrong, God can make right.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, See, in the midst of this world, there's going to be some things that you're going to say, Amen. Some things that you're going to do. Folk going to take it the wrong way. They're going to run left when you meant for them to go right. You're going to say up, they're going to say down. But see, God can make what we've done wrong right. Oh, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Abraham said, she my sister. Now, you know, Sarah wasn't his sister. But what Abraham was trying to do was protect her. So God made, even though what he said was wrong, he made it right because he still told the king, you better not touch her. You better not touch her. See, I'm just saying, God can make what we do wrong right. See, so why not seek him? Not our own way of success. Now, if you'll be honest, and I got to close. If you'll be honest, there's things in our lives that we're seeking to do right now. And they're because we were taught that these are the things that were needful. That these are the things that we got to do. This is going to make us successful. This is going to set us up for this. This is that, that, and the other. How much God seeking? Let me drop a real bomb on you. Did you ask God before you did that? Ain't that something? Let me drop my head with you. Let me drop mine with you. Because that thing that's frustrating us right now, we ain't ask him. We ain't ask him. We started it and we said, now, Lord, bless it. Said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Your track record is better than any and everything else that I can possibly come up with. You have worked from all eternity to now, and you're going to work forever. I just need you. I just need you. But I don't want to stop doing what got me here. And what got you here was trusting God. Listen to me. Don't write off what I'm saying. What got you here was trusting God. We don't want to become like Saul. God said, when you were small in your own sight. In other words, back then, you were dependent on me. But now look at you. You still trusting him like you used to trust him? Are you still saying, God, I can't make it without you? Remember the time you started that job and you didn't know what was going on? And you was praying that God would give you wisdom every day you were going up in there. Lord, help me. I don't know with this stuff up in here, Lord, so they don't fire me. God, please. See how dependent we were? The world teaches us that that's weakness, but that's really strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our might, his might. See, when we get back to the point where we're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I can't assume because it looks a certain way that I don't need God. I don't want to become so familiar with my circumstances, whether it's my job, whether it's my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my brothers and sisters. I don't want to become so familiar with it that I'm not trusting God anymore. Well, you know, Lord, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the future? Food prices, car prices. Okay, you could worry about all of those things or you could trust God. It's up to you. It's up to you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You could look it up. It didn't matter what the circumstances was. I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed. God said, I even got your kids. You You're worried about what you're going to do. I got the next generation. So who are you going to trust? I have to say it to you because you're living in a time full of bad news. You're living in a time where things are changing and shifting. And see, if we're not careful, we get moved and shifted with those things. But see, our feet are supposed to be planted on a rock. The psalmist says it was a rock in a weary land. Yeah, things are weary right now. Folk are losing it left and right. But it's all right, because I have a rock in my life. And all I got to do is stay right there. Maybe tempting to get over here to the left and go over there, but no. I've seen the rules change too much. I've seen people manipulate things for their own gain. I've seen people use me when I thought they wanted to be with me. No. Oh, I ain't mad at them. It's all right. Because when I come back home and realize where I'm supposed to be, I'm just trusting in him. Because after all, I did say, God, use me any way you want to. And he used me, and I just might not like being used. But see, I can always come right back to him. It's all right. See, I've learned this lesson. Every time I've fallen, every time I've been disappointed, every time, see, it always drove me back to him. And after a while, after beating my head against the wall enough time, I realized, why not just stay here? Oh my goodness. Maybe it's dawning on some of you all. Why not just stay here? Why not just keep doing what got me here? I'm finished. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged to keep doing what got you here. While we're embracing this kingdom movement, keep doing what got you here. Don't worry about the people that are trying to appease you or the situations that are trying to appease you. Get in this. Be a part of that. Do this. Do that. Those are other things that will frustrate you in the long run. But if you stay with God, if you finish your course with him, I promise you, you will not be dissatisfied. You will not. Listen, if you're listening to us now and you don't have a relationship with Christ, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to make a decision. Make a decision for Jesus Christ. People like to tune off now and this is the time. Oh, the message is over. Listen, the message is not over, because this is where it really begins. It all begins with a relationship with Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. Well, listen, with your already saved self, I want to know this. Are you depending on him? Or are you trusting in your own way to do those different things, those things you got on the side, your little hustles, if you will? And you say, well, it's working for me. It's working what? Is it taking God time? Is it taking the time that should be set aside for you and the Father to cultivate a relationship? Because what's coming is you're going to need more than a hustle to deal with it. And I want you to know, God said he will not forsake those that pursue him. This is the time to pursue God. If you're not saved, I want to pray with you now. I want to pray with you, and I want to ask that you would allow God to bring you into a saving relationship. See, I don't want to act as though that this is just this powerful prayer that you're praying. No, it's the mercies of God that saves us. See, we need the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the truth of who Jesus is before we can even recognize him as the Son of the living God. I want you to take a moment right now and think about your life. With you living the way you're living, will you spend all eternity in heaven or hell? Are you uncomfortable being with God because you like doing things your own way? Well, now's your moment to be honest. I'm talking about a true repentance. God, I don't want it like this. I want you. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I have to do. Here I am. Just save me. If you're at that kind of point and you're really, really ready, that's where a state of repentance lies. That's a godly sorrow that's working repentance in your life. Sorry for sinning against the holy God who has kept you all the days of your life thus far and given you an opportunity to know him. I want you to bow your head in the presence of a holy God. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. You and you alone are God. I repent of all my shortcomings. I repent of doing things my own way. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you were buried. I believe you rose again on the third day. Lord, come into my life. Live your life in me. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer and you were sincere about a relationship with Jesus, just going to ask you to do one small thing. Reach out to someone. There's a number on the screen for you to reach out to us. You don't have, I'm going to be honest, you don't have to reach out to us. I'm not trying to get you to do that. What I'm trying to do is get you to reach out to someone and share with them that you have made a decision for Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a godmother or a godfather or someone that's been praying for you and you've just made a decision for Jesus Christ. Call them. Call them that their hearts will be encouraged to know that God answered their prayer. Call them so they'll know that you're in the family of God now. This is your opportunity to bear witness that their prayers were answered. You will be able to rejoice, and so will they, over what God has done in your life. Listen, if you're born again already, I want you to know this. Don't let anything steal the time that you have for God. Allow God to minister to you the way he wants to. The game is changing. And as soon as we learn the game, they change the rules. But God never changes. He wants you to be with him. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for tuning in with us today. And I pray that the message has been a blessing to you. If you'd like to sow into this ministry, please avail yourself. We have a link that you can go to and feel free to share with us as we worship God by way of giving. I want you to know there's nothing too big to give God. You know, I believe that there's some people that God's going to touch your heart. And he's going to cause you to sow a seed, even into this ministry. And I'm not saying it because this is where I'm at. I'm saying it because I believe God's dealing with people's hearts. And as we open up and trust him, you say, well, preacher, I'm just, you know, I don't know. Listen, it's not the devil telling you to give. I'll tell you that. Obey God. And I promise you this, you will not be sorry for what you've done. Because giving is an opportunity for us to see God move at a whole nother level. Why? Because we start to look like God. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. We look just like God when we're giving. And I pray that we would understand that giving allows us to demonstrate a trust in God. We're not dependent on what we have and what resources, because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit. Trust God with your giving today. And may he richly reward you for your obedience. God bless you.